This morning we like to center in on the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Here Paul, writing from his prison cell in Rome, says to the church at Philippi, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace," or the peace of God, "which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Jesus prophesied that a day would come where the conditions of the earth would get so bad that men's hearts would be failing them for fear of the things that are coming to pass upon the earth. It is interesting today how we hear of so many people having heart attacks. What is very interesting is that the doctors relate so many of these heart attacks to stress factors. We are living in a world that is filled with stress. We find that there are pressures all around us, constantly pushing against us. And oftentimes we find it difficult, if not impossible, to cope with this complex society in which we live. Surely if Paul wrote for any time, he wrote for this present day. And his words are so applicable this morning when Paul said, "Be careful for nothing." Now, the word "careful," when translated by the King James translators, had a different meaning in English at that time. What it actually meant was "care full" or "full of care." The real command is don't be full of care over things. It has been translated sometimes "anxious." Be anxious for nothing. That is, do not have anxiety attacks over the things that surround you. I would like to translate it, don't worry about anything, because that's exactly what the text is telling us. You shouldn't be worried about anything. This same Greek word translated here, "careful," is also translated "thought" with the idea of anxious thought in other places in the New Testament where the same word is used. In the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, Jesus told his disciples that they were to take no anxious thought as to what they were to eat or what they were to drink or what they were to wear, that they should consider how that their Father takes care of his creation. The birds don't worry about what they're going to eat. They don't go out and plant seed and harvest seed and store the seed. Your Father sees that they are fed. The flowers of the field, they don't worry how they're going to be clothed. But your Father clothes them in such beauty that even Solomon, with all of his riches, was not adorned as beautifully as the lily of the field. Now, if your Father watches over the birds and takes care of clothing the lilies, how much more will he take care of you, his children? Therefore, repeating again, don't be worried about tomorrow, about these issues that so oftentimes cause us to be so concerned and worried and fretful. But you know, when a person is so worried about things, to just say to him, "Oh, don't worry about that," doesn't really help that much, does it? Paul said, "Don't be worried about anything." Well, thanks, Paul, but you don't understand the problems I'm going through. It's like having a financial problem, really being strapped, being pressured by a lot of overdue bills to the point that you sort of lose control, and so they say, "Oh, you better see a psychiatrist." And you go to the psychiatrist, and you sit down and you tell him all of your problems. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills, and you're just so upset and worried about all these things. And he says, "Well, now, don't worry about it, and that'll be $100. Pay the secretary on your way out." Well, hey, man, I'm telling you, I got financial problems, you know, and just to say, "Don't worry," that doesn't help. The Bible doesn't just make a command and then leave you frustrated. But it always gives you steps by which you can obey this command. It gives you the answers. And so when Paul said, "Don't be worried about anything," he then gives to you the cure for worry. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, we're dealing with things, and isn't that what life is all about, things? So many things come into our life to vex us. So many things come into our life to worry us. But first of all, don't let anything worry you. Secondly, in everything. Again, things. Anything and everything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, all of these things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The things that are causing me such concern, the things that are bringing so much worry to me, what Paul is saying is, take those things that are worrying you and make them the subject of your prayers. Rather than worry about them, pray about them. Turn your cares into prayers. That sounds like a Schullerism, doesn't it? But that's exactly what we're being exhorted to do here. The best thing that I can do with a problem, with something that is just really concerning me, bothering me, the best thing I can do about it is to pray about it. As we sang this morning, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In everything, with prayer and supplication. Now, Paul does distinguish here between prayer and supplication, and it is an important thing that we also distinguish between the two. Supplication is a part of prayer. It should be a minor part of prayer. Prayer is far broader than just supplication. Prayer is communion with God. Communion in which I am worshiping God. I am there in His presence being strengthened, being helped. Just loving God for what He is. talking with God and expressing to Him my thanksgiving and my praise for all that He has done for me. Supplication is making requests. That's when I get down to my present need and I make my request. But I'm to make my supplications with prayers. In other words, prayer should be an important part and should precede supplications. You'll find a good example of this in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. When the disciples, Peter and John, were arrested because the man who had been lame for 40 years was healed. The religious authorities arrested them, brought them to trial. Peter said, it's sort of a ridiculous thing, isn't it, to arrest us just because here's a man who was lame, is now able to walk. Are those the charges against us? Well, they were. And they commanded them very implicitly, don't do this again. Don't you speak anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they beat them to enforce the threat. So they came back to the rest of the body of Christ and they were sharing with them the experience that they had just had being beaten and threatened by the religious leaders not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And so then they prayed and their prayers recorded there beginning with verse 24. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Now, this is prayer. You see, they're acknowledging who they're talking to. Lord, You're God. You've created everything. The universe, all of the life forms within it. And You spoke about these very things that happened to us today. You knew all along things that are going to take place. You really are watching over everything. You've spoken in advance of the very things we experienced. For by the mouth of David You said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of the earth have stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Messiah. And of a truth against Your holy child Jesus, whom You have anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever Your counsel had determined before to be done. In other words, God is in control of the things that are happening around. They acknowledge this. Lord, You've created everything, and they're all under Your control. That was all prayer. Then they came to the supplication. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant that with boldness we might go out and preach Your word. Give us the boldness to do just the things we've been told not to do. Give us the boldness to do the things that got us arrested. Go right back out there, Lord. Give us the boldness. But notice, they didn't get to the supplication until they had spent some time in prayer. I think that this is good. You know, when something is really troubling me, and I'm really concerned and worried about this, as I begin to pray about it, it's good to begin my prayer by really acknowledging in my heart who I am talking to. Oh, Lord, You are God, and You've created the heavens and the earth, this entire universe, the sea, everything that is in them. You see, as I start to think about God, then my problem begins to come into a real perspective. When I rush into God with my problem is so big, I'm drowning. Lord, I'm going under. This is it, Lord. I've had it. You know, and I'm just so in and to my problem and so overwhelmed by it that I have very little faith. You know, oh, man, Lord, it's got me wiped out. And I don't even know if You can handle this, you know. And I'm just so totally overwhelmed by my problems that I forget the greatness and the power of my God. And so if I will just sort of start off by just reflection, oh Lord, you're God. Hey, this whole universe, the heavens, the earth, the sea, everything that is in them, you've created the whole thing, Lord. And you know exactly what's going on in your universe. You were able in advance to talk about things that happened to me today. And those things that happen because of your determined counsel. According to your plan, according to your schedule. And when I come to God from this perspective, then my problems are reduced. They're not nearly as big as I saw them to be, because I was looking at them with my strength and with my capacities. Now I'm looking at them from the, I've ascended up with him, and I'm looking down, and oh, it looks so little. You know, it's really nothing. Oh, if we can only get the right perspective. You know, if you stand at the bottom of the Himalayas and look up, they look awfully tall. 29,000 feet. But did you know that the Himalayas, the height of them, are less than the irregularities of the lacquer on a billiard, on a billiard ball or on a bowling ball. When you compare the 29,000 feet to the 8,000 mile circumference of the earth. 29,000 feet is to 8,000 miles. Such a minute little irregularity on the surface of the earth. That if you get far enough up there in the height, you know, the guys on the moon looking back at the earth, they really couldn't see the Himalayas. Just looks like a round ball down there. Doesn't look like there are any irregularities. My problems that loom so big. When I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, I look back down and I can't see him, Lord. You know. So prayer. Important to supplications. Supplication is a part of prayer. But don't just rush right into the need and this and to the request. Spend a little time just worshiping him for what he is, for what he's done, for what he's able to do. You remember this word, anxious or careful, was the same word that Jesus used when he had gone to visit in the home of Mary and Martha. And Mary, so excited, Jesus is here, just went down in the living room and sat down at his feet and just sat there and talked with him, shared with him, listened to him, worshiped him. Martha was out in the kitchen, and she was trying to get all the hors d'oeuvres all set and make sure that they're lined up just perfectly on the tray and make sure there's, you know, everything is all clean and nice and just busying herself around. And finally, she got exasperated. She said, Lord, would you send Mary out here to help me? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are careful about many things, worried about many things. But Mary's actually chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. Better to just sit at the feet of Jesus and worship him and listen to him than to be worried about everything being just precisely right and being all upset over these kind of things, you see. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Now, thanksgiving is another very important part of prayer. I am so thankful that I can come to God with my needs. I'm so thankful that God is able to help me in this problem. I'm so thankful that God loves me. I'm so thankful that God cares about me, that God is interested in the very minute things of my life. He knows how many hair I have left on top. That's what he said. He knows the very minute things of my life, trivia. You know, I quit worrying about that a long time ago, yet God still knows. And if God knows those little minute things about my life, surely he knows those great major things that are such a problem to me today. You know, I thoroughly discount that false humility that says, well, I don't like to bother God with my problems. Hey, you don't mind bothering everybody else. That's a false humility. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him. And so, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. It seems to be two ways by which we can make our requests to God. One with griping and complaining. Sort of, God, why in the world would you allow this to happen to me? What's going on here, Lord? Have you forsaken your child? Don't you care, Master? Don't you care if we perish? You know, they came to Jesus with that kind of an attitude, and Jesus rebuked them. Or I can come to God saying, Lord, I'm so thankful that you're in control of the things of my life. And even though I don't understand the purpose or the plan that you have and that you're working out right now, I thank you that my life is yours and I belong to you. And Lord, I'm under tremendous pressure. I really don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. But I thank you that you're going to see me through. And so, Lord, help me now because I'm so weak. I just have come to the end of my own resources. And, Lord, I feel my weakness, and I know that I don't have the capacity. So help me, God. Thank you, Lord, for your help and your promise to help me. And you're making your request with thanksgiving. How much better than with the complaining and the griping. So with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what is the result of that? And the peace of God, which passes human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God which passes human understanding. Such a peace will come into your own heart, you won't understand it. It doesn't mean that the problems are going to immediately dissolve and disappear. They may even get worse, but yet you're going to have glorious peace, the peace of God in it. And you won't even be able to understand the peace you have yourself. I can't believe, you know, the things that are happening to me. It looks like it's all going down the tube. Looks like tomorrow's the day, but you know, I know God has it all in his hands. He's got it in control. And bless the Lord. And the peace of God. How glorious is that peace of God. You can't understand it yourself. A problem, though, because your friends don't understand it either. And it drives them up a wall. They will oftentimes make false accusations when they see you with such peace in the midst of such disaster. And they'll say, listen, do you really understand what's happening here? You just don't know how serious this is. Or they'll say, you just really don't care, do you? You know, you're going to lose everything and you just don't care. Well, if you don't care, I don't know why I should care, you know. And they make these crazy accusations because they just can't understand the peace that we have. And it just drives them to a frenzy. The little children used to sing that song, "I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." There was an interesting verse to that song I always enjoyed, and it was, "I have the happy hope that heckles heathen down in my heart." And this peace, this hope that I have, it just really drives people crazy. The peace that you can experience in the midst of the storms of life because you've committed your life completely unto Him. You've taken those cares and you've made them your prayers. You've brought them to the Lord. You've left them with Him. And His peace fills your heart because you know that God is in control and He's going to take care of it and see you through. There's a distinction made here between the heart and the mind. The peace that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds. Now, the peace of mind, true peace of mind stems from the peace in the heart. Some people, but there's a difference. You can have a peace of mind without peace in the heart. You can go to the doctor with all of your friends. He says, "No, I'm just so upset. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just, I can't sleep at night." He says, "Here, take these tranquilizers." And he can prescribe tranquilizers for you. And so you can have peace of mind because you've tranquilized your mind. And so, "Well, it doesn't matter. My house burned down? Too bad, isn't it?" You know, peace of mind. I mean, you know, my mind's blown on the tranquilizer. But that's not a true peace of mind because as soon as the tranquilizer wears off, "What are we going to do?" You know. So people learn ways of escape. You know, it's hard to live under constant, continual pressure. Hard to deal with that. And so people learn how to cope. And some cope through alcohol. Some cope through drugs, tranquilizers, whatnot. People cope in various ways. Some, unfortunately, faced with these dilemmas, feel they can't cope, and they take their own lives, which is an extremely cruel thing to do and selfish. Because whenever anybody takes their life, it leaves every friend and relative of them feeling horrible with guilt. "If I'd only done this, if I'd only said that, if we'd only, and they leave this horrible guilt on all their friends and their relatives. It's so hard when someone that you love and is close to you takes that selfish step. But I can understand it. I can understand a person being so stressful. They've got to do something. There seems to be no other way out. I don't agree with it. I can understand it. I can understand a person becoming an alcoholic. I don't agree with it. I can understand it. I can understand a person taking tranquilizers. I don't agree with it. I can understand it. The world in which we are living is so filled with so many stresses, and there are so many stress points, so many things to be worried about and anxious about, that I don't know how anybody copes without the help of God. Without following the exhortation of the text, without taking these things that are bringing such care to my heart and making them a matter of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving unto God. Oh, how thankful I am today for the peace of God, which passes human understanding, that fills my heart and my mind, but especially because it fills my heart, because I can look at this world with a clear mind and still have peace in my mind because of the peace in my heart, because of the confidence that I have in God, who's created the whole universe to take care of these little details of my life. After all, if he's watching out over his universe and taking care of it, surely he can take care of me. Next time you see that little sparrow or robin perched there worrying himself silly, let me know, would you? God is no longer in control of his universe. It's time we all worry when the robins begin to worry. But they don't. They have an innate understanding of God's providential care. Just follow his laws. We also need not to worry, but just follow his laws, and God will take care of you. No matter what the test, no matter what the situation, no matter how hopeless it may seem, God is in control. Leave it in his hands. He'll take care of you. How often, when I am prone to begin to worry about the things of the church, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this? Especially in some of the period of the past, as we were going through our growing pains, how are we going to provide facilities for all of these people that the Lord is bringing in? What are we going to do? We've got them sitting outside. Winter's coming. How are we going to house them? And so then we made the plunge and we put a down payment on this chunk of property over here. And then it began to hit me. Look what you've done now. Put these people into debt. How in the world are you ever going to pay for that property? And how in the world are you ever going to get the money to build on that property? Look what you have done. I think, oh God, what have I done, you know, to these people? And the Lord would speak to my heart. And he'd say, two questions. Who created this problem? I said, you did it, Lord. You're the one that's brought all the people in. I'm not responsible. You did it. And then he'd say, whose church is it? And I'd say, it's your church, Lord. Third question would be, then why are you worried about it? Well, I don't know. Your church, your problem? I won't worry about it. That's the way you feel about it. You take it, you know. And I'd turn it over to God, and I would, by the time I'd hit San Diego Freeway, the peace of God which passes understanding would fill my heart. His problem. I wonder how he's going to solve it. It's going to be interesting to see. You know. Satan would say, hey, you're going to bankrupt those people. Stepping out like that, you know. I say, well, Lord, you're going to go bankrupt, huh? Your church, too bad. But you know, I learned an important lesson. It is his church. And when God guides, God provides. And we didn't have to worry about it. God had his plan all established. And we went ahead, we improved the parking lot, we put up the tent, we improved the sidewalks and streets. We began building these buildings and we didn't have to borrow from anybody. The Lord just sent it in as we went. It was His church, it was His problem, and He knew how to take care of it, even though I didn't know how He was going to do it. The Lord said to Habakkuk, when Habakkuk was complaining to Him, Lord, hey, it's going down the tubes. Everything is gone. Lord, it's just about over, and nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's repenting. It's not changing. Things are getting worse. Lord, look, do me a favor. I don't want to know anything else. Let me just escape into oblivion and into ignorance. Please don't show me anything else that's happening. I can't take it, Lord, because the whole thing is going down and You're not doing a thing about it. The Lord spoke to Habakkuk and said, I am doing a work that would make your ears tingle if I told you. And so Habakkuk said, well, look, I'm just going to then go in the tower and I'm going to sit and wait to watch what You're going to do. While he was in the tower, the Lord came to him and said, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Just trust me. And that's so often what God is just saying. Hey, just trust me. But that's hard to do, isn't it? A lot of times we like an alternative to that. When God said, just trust me. Well, Lord, any other suggestions? With prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Take those cares, cast them on Him. He cares for you. And He will work. And He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And you'll just end up rejoicing again in the goodness of God. Stronger for the next problem that you're going to face because of having seen God bring you forth from this. All part of growth. An important part of necessary growth. Shall we pray? Thank You, Father, for the work of Your Holy Spirit in our hearts. And in our minds. Thank You for that faith that You have given to us that causes us to put our trust in You. Help us, Lord, to trust in You at all times and not to lean upon our own understanding, but just casting all of our cares upon You. May we experience Your help and Your deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are here this day without Jesus Christ, I feel sorry for you, because I really don't think that I could handle this world apart from Christ. I know I couldn't handle it soberly. I'd have to do like you do and just, you know, do some dumb things to escape, like drink or take drugs or something else. This world is just too filled with stress. Society is just too complex. Can't manage anymore. Unless you have a manager who knows what's going on and you can just turn it all over to him to work things out to perfection. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. I hope you'll learn to trust Him. You can begin today. I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. And there you can just cast all of these worries, all of these anxieties upon the Lord. And you know what? You can go home from here with a peace that you won't understand. Wow, I feel good. Ah, it's so good just to dump that whole load off of me. It's been weighing me down. It's almost crushed me. Just to roll it off and dump it on him. He can handle it. He created the universe, everything that's in it. He can handle your little problems too. I'd encourage you to do it. May the Lord be with you, bless you this week, guide you this week, keep you in his hand, fill you with his spirit and with his love, and may the peace of Christ, which passes human understanding, just keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ our Lord.